do welcome you here this morning. Children, yes, you may go. Glad you're here today. And how many of you were at the dance last night? Did you have fun? Did you sweat? Okay. Did you lose weight? Okay. Well, it was wonderful. If you hadn't signed up yet and not participating in that, we'd love for you to do it. We're stretching for 1,000 people, but whatever God brings us on that day, it's going to be great. But to see the ramp up to it, all the things are happening, it's not just about that day. It's about all of what God is doing, building up to it, and then what he's doing with the community to see the people gathered. It was wonderful. We have a very special person with us today. Come on up here, Martha. This is Martha Dees. Y'all remember Martha? We sent her out. The shame about some of it is that they come back. We love Martha a whole lot. We've asked her to come and share just a little bit about as we sent her out in college ministry over in the great state of Alabama. She's going to tell you a little bit, give you a little report of what's going on in her life. You'll have to hold this.
Thank you, Dusty. First, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for all of your prayers and support that you've given me over the years. I've seen the Lord do so much in the lives of the students at Auburn this year, the lives of believers and non-believers, and that's what it's about. It's about life change for non-believers as well as believers. I want to tell you just a quick story about one of the students, and then I want to share about what I'm going to be doing and transitioning into. When I first moved to Auburn, I met a student from Korea. Her name is MJ. That's what we Americans call her anyway. And she had decided when she was 12 years old that she did not believe in God and that she wasn't interested in any kind of religion. 22 years later, at the age of 34, she moved to Auburn to study English and decided that she would... She wanted to see what Christianity was about. She began coming to church, and she began meeting with me and meeting with some other Koreans that were Christians in Auburn. And she asked questions. She was very faithful and just seeking the Lord. And in January, she, just like the song, she saw the marvelous light, and she came into the kingdom and gave her life to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. It's about life change and seeing that. Another story, just a quick share with you guys. I don't know if you guys remember Corey. He's from Taiwan. He used to come with me when I was here. After he moved away from here, he moved to L.A. to do an internship, and he became a Christian. So you guys were all a part of that as well. So I wanted to make sure that all of you knew that because you are a part of that. This past year I was working, but I was also training and doing an internship, and I finished with that, and I'm on my way to become an official campus pastor with international students at the University of Alabama. I'm so excited, and the Lord has just done so much in my life, and it's just working through me, and just it's been such a blessing. What I want to do is build a community of international students and American students together. We're all one big family, and I can see that in this congregation. So that's kind of my vision for the international students. I want to start a conversation English program that will help American students be with international students. They can learn from each other. I'll be doing Bible studies with international students. Another heart and desire that the Lord has given me is to mentor young girls. I want to see them whole spiritually and emotionally. I want to see healthy relationships, not just romantically, but platonic relationships. I want to see that healthy in their lives. So I'll be doing that as well and teaching a lot of people their relationship with the Lord is based on experience. And it's not just, that is a part of it, but it's also about the word that he has given us. And so I have a desire to teach that. And then the other thing that I'll be doing is working with missions, both home, missions in the U.S. and missions abroad. And this generation has a heart for humanitarian work, and I want to guide that towards something productive for the kingdom. So I'll be heading that up there as well. So please continue to pray for me. I'll be transitioning sometime in the next, probably the first 6 months of next year. I'll be raising some more support before I can start that full-time position. So just keep me in your prayers, and I appreciate and love all of you.
And we're going to pray for Martha. So if y'all, several of you want to come up and lay hands on her. Love Martha a whole lot, and when she said she's going to be raising support, she means prayer support, but also dollar support. She's going to need that because she does need to eat over there in Alabama. Let's pray.
And they eat good.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for Martha. Thank you for the call that you have on her life, for the blessing that she is to us and in the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, that she was able to pass through this way. And Lord, that we got to know one of our sisters that we're going to know forever. And I thank you for the what you have allowed to happen through her. And those who are coming to Christ because she has been faithful in the call to share Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, for your empowerment on her life in a fresh way. Lord, that as we undergird her with our prayers, Lord, and that you would stir up more financial support for her for this coming year. The University of Alabama is going to be richer because of Martha Dees and the Martha Dees that has been immersed in the love of Jesus. Bless her today as we send her out again in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to talk to Martha a little bit more after the service, I know she'll be around. She'd love to talk to you and meet you. Well, today, you know, I said to you last week when I was at this point that that the message last week was probably not going to be one that the altar was going to be flooded over people in response to it. Well, if that were true last week, multiply it about 10 times today. One of the issues that as we began last week talking about attacking the sins of our generation, today we're going to talk about sexual sin. Now, I know that just puts everyone immediately on edge. And you say, man, I don't even want to know that my pastor even talks about stuff like that. Well, I want to let you know today that your pastor has to deal with this every week, as do you. We just don't talk about it. It's all around us. Let me give you a few statistics. Just from our country and things that are going on in regard to sex in the United States. 19 million new STD, that is sexually transmitted disease, or now they're calling it sexually transmitted infection, STI, whichever you want to call it. 19 million new ones every year. Click, 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 click. Several years ago, I remember talking about this, and
At that time, there were 25 identifiable STDs. I was looking in one medical report now. There are over 60 sexually transmitted diseases. One of the big things that Josh McDowell, who's gone, a Christian apologist, who's gone all over the country giving lectures on college campuses. In fact, when I was in college, he had already been doing that a while and was debating. This has become a big thing for him. But he makes this statement, and it's off-quoted. He says, every time you have sex with someone, you're having sex with every person they've ever had sex with. And you think about it. Now, I know some of you are already uncomfortable. You're probably going to get a little more uncomfortable. But I'm going to read some things out of the Bible that are in there that I want you to see today because it's on our minds and our hearts, and it's a great problem. 1 in 2 of all youth who are sexually active, and by the way, 46.8% of high school students through their senior year are sexually active in this country. But 1 in 2 of them, the statistics say, will contract a sexually transmitted disease by the age of 25. Now, here's one that'll knock your socks off. 40% of older adolescents incorrectly believe that a contraceptive pill or a shot is a protection against an STD or HIV. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? 40% think that that's a protection. I mean, that should just, the walls should come down. 10,000 teens in our nation are infected with an STD every day. That's 1 every 8 seconds. In 2006, adolescents and young adults aged 13 to 29 years old accounted for the greatest percentage of HIV infections, new infections in this country, 34% more than any other group. Now, I've zeroed in on the statistics about kiddos because and young adults because those are much readily available. The statistics about other groups, other age groups, are not quite as precise. And I guess it's because maybe we've learned how to lie better on surveys and whatnot. Would you say that it's a problem in our country? That sexual sin is a problem in our country? Would you say that? Is it getting better? Okay, I'm glad to hear you immediately respond with that. Nordry and I went over to England for the first time in February of 2000. There in a Western European country, we're walking down the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, we turn the corner, and there on a billboard as big as this building is a naked woman. Now, you can't read the newspaper over there without having someone go through the newspaper. In fact, anytime I picked up a newspaper over there, I'd get Audrey or one of the other gals to pull out all the parts of the newspaper that have full-blown nudity. They're in the newspaper. Now, you say, well, why are you bringing that up? Well, I'm just trying to show you where this country's headed. If there are no changes. If something doesn't change. Now, in that regard,
I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. And we'll read this from the New Living. You may say, I'm allowed to do anything. But I reply, not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food is for the stomach. Stomach is for food. This is true. Though someday God will do away with both of them. But our bodies were not made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. God will raise our bodies from the dead by His marvelous power, just as He raised up our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one in body with her? For the Scriptures say the two are united into one. For the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Run away from sexual sin. Do you get that? That's a command. Run away from it. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Did you hear that? Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you today that you would open us to this message and speak to us. God, I'm asking you today in every way that you would keep the evil one from us right now and all the demonic forces that are around that would be in contention today. It would be whispering, saying, that's not true. That's just a bunch of stuff. That's just church talk or preacher talk. Lord, let us see today this is God talk. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now here's the situation. Number one, God has clearly set out His ideal. The ideal for a man and for a woman is oneness in marriage. Let me read this to you from Genesis chapter 2. And the man said, this is after the creation of the woman, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. That oneness. Now, what he's speaking of here is not just a oneness of a physical nature. Because men and women were made for, God made Eve for Adam and Adam for Eve. They were made for each other perfectly. And remember, they had a perfect union before sin came in. There was perfect marriage before sin came in. If you remember that. But it's more than just of a physical nature.
It's of an emotional nature. It's a spiritual nature. It's a oneness as a whole that God has made us for, and to complement one another. It was amazing. It's been about 15 years ago. Time magazine had it on the front page. They're on their cover. Flash: men and women are different. Flash news. Well, just watch the little boys and the little girls out on a playground and tell me if they're different. Just watch them. You don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa. You don't have to have a degree in psychology, sociology, anthropology to be able to answer that question. Flash news. God had it right because He is the Creator. Now remember, He's the one who made us. Number two. We have all struggled with this ideal, have we not? That God made us for one another. And we have struggled with God's ideal for sex, haven't we? Sex was created by God for the confines of marriage. And anytime you go against God's plan and God's will, what happens? We don't break God's law. We are broken on God's law. Do you get the difference? What happens every time you go against God? There's a price to pay. Now, God's ideal is not to be the ultimate killjoy in society, to come and always be messing up our party. That's not who God is. He is the one who has provided for all of us. God is the author of the sex drive. He created it. And we must have it in the confines of how God created it to be. And that's in marriage. One man, one woman. Not two women, not two men. Not this man today and this man tomorrow, this woman today and this woman tomorrow. No, one man and one woman for life. That is God's ideal. And let me just ask you, and I gave you those statistics initially, yeah, of course, to get your attention, but to show you how man's way of working it out is not working out. One of the popular radio stations around town, they ask the question all the time, and how'd that work out for you? Truth. Tell the truth. It's not working out. Number three. God created our bodies for Himself, as He said there. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Bodies made by the Lord and made for the Lord. And all of these things about our bodies, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, some Elizabethan naivete. That doesn't even want to use the word sex at all. We're not talking about we can't ever talk about that. No, we need to talk about it and talk about it how God talks about it, and get His view on things. Number four, sex outside of marriage creates a counterfeit oneness. Look what he says in verse 15. Don't you realize that your body is actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? First Greek phrase I ever learned before I even learned agape was this word never. and it's the word megenata. Megenata. May it never be. may it never be. Don't you know that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two shall become one. A counterfeit oneness. Now, like what Ralph Naber years ago termed this counterfeit oneness, he calls it a soul tie. Now, I'm not going to be able to exhaust this today, okay? But I want you to at least to see that when we're talking about sex, and as God talks about that and us being joined to one another, it's more than just a physical drive-by. It's spiritual. And it's a picture of the marriage union, which is for God, and which is a glory to God, and which is a beautiful thing. But when it's outside of marriage, what happens? Well, it comes as a soul tie. Something that is spiritual happens, but it's not a spiritual activity that God condones. And it's a battle. I'm not here today to go through all the years of examples that I can show you that how that does not work, because we all know it doesn't work. There comes a connection there that's got to be broken. That's one of the things in our Steps to Freedom that we do, which all of our life group leaders are trained in to do. But it's a process. It takes several hours. We can go back and look at our lives, look at the things in the past, and have a break with the sin in our lives, a break with the thing. And I'm not talking about something that a few of us have experienced in here. I'm talking about something that all of us have experienced in here in some way, shape, or form. Now, am I saying all of us have been with a prostitute? No. But do all of us have a struggle with sexual sin? Have we experienced that in our life? And the answer is what? Yes. So we can't sit here as super spirituals and say, oh, I've never struggled with that. Oh, that's never happened to me in my life. You're a liar. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. We all struggle. And I mentioned that ministry of for the Steps to Freedom. You know, it's a way of getting free of those things and saying, I'm not going to, and see, once we allow the devil, it allows the devil territory in our lives. And the thing about territory that we give over to him, when we give it over to him through this sexual sin, we've got to take it back. We've got to, instead of giving him a runway in our lives that he could land a 747 on, let's cut it down to the size that a mosquito couldn't land on it, right? I want to ask you parents today, is this something you desire for your children, what I'm talking about here today, this kind of attitude about sex and about marriage and about family and all these things? Is this something you desire? Yeah. Grandparents, you desire that? Young people, do you desire this? Because I'm going to be asking you today, I'd like to see you take a pledge of abstinence until marriage. Just say no and not put yourself in the position that it's going to be easy to say yes. And that isn't when you're on the edge of the cliff about to fall off. You draw the line before you get there. So even if you swerve a little bit, you're not going to be over the cliff. Is all this imagery working for you? Do you understand me? Okay, all right. All right. But the soul tie is something that's got to be broken. Now, he talks about, you know, all these other sins on the outside. He said, but this is something that happens on the inside of you. It's something spiritual that's taking place. And it's got to be broken. I mean, how many of you, don't raise your hands, please, because I don't want to know. God just needs to know. when you can go back and look at some sexual things in your past that you carried into your marriage, some problems. How often does that happen? A lot. Unless they're dealt with. And see, the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus is that Jesus comes with His forgiveness. And He'll come and break those things so that we don't have to carry that weight of sin with us. That He comes and He makes us whole. Because anybody who comes to Jesus comes broken. For the power of God to make us whole again. That's the power of the gospel. That's what just amazes the world. That they see it and they try to wrap their arms around it. Every other world religion just cannot wrap their minds around the fact of forgiveness. What is forgiveness all about? See, He's got a better way. My point in even preaching this message today is not to have a guilt trip that we'll all feel bad about our past. No, it's to change the future. Martha spoke of it. Change lives. To take a stand. Number five, quickly, the whole concept of love gets perverted. How many things in the name of love? If I hear one more person from Hollywood try to instruct me about love and about the definition of love, I believe I'm going to throw up. Love? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because love, it's for most of our world, it's if it feels good, do it, and it must be love because it's a beautiful thing. No, it's not beautiful. When there's a trail of people behind you, true love is shown best by what Jesus did for us on the cross, as He gave Himself. And when you in marriage give yourself to another person, that's what that means. It's that agape kind of love. It's not, I'm going to keep loving you as long as you do this, you do that, you have this attitude. No. It's I love you unconditionally. Like Jesus loved. Number six, we've already alluded to this. Sexual sin is in a different category because it affects both the body and the soul here. Number seven, our nation is being assaulted on every front by this sin. Do you know even radical Islam has gotten into the act and is using this as an accusation against this nation? Did you know that? Even those, and I'm talking about radical Islam, or even those who want us dead, or can recognize that this sin in our country is affecting us so much so that it threatens to destroy us. Number eight, this sin is killing us. Is it not? I remember something my preacher cousin up in Virginia told me. Lives in an area of Virginia where there's a lot of textile industry. They have a furniture industry. He said they had at one of the real big furniture manufacturers, he said, when they integrated their workforce, their work on the furniture, make production line, workforce between men and women, he said, it affected the whole company. He said, because what started happening was affairs began to develop between men and women that were thrown together, that worked together in that environment. And there was no control over that. And affected the family. And what got the company's attention was it started affecting the bottom line for them. It started affecting their money. And that got their attention. Then they hired some counselors and said, well, we're just going to say grace over all of it, and we'll all be better persons for it afterwards. Nothing changed. Now, is it a problem where you work? Do affairs happen? You know, what would the devil love to happen in our church? He'd love to split up families through affairs, wouldn't he? Who do you think might be one of his prime targets? You're looking at one of them. So if you haven't known how to pray yet, how to pray specifically for your pastor, you can pray for me in that too. I am a red-blooded American boy. I'm saying to you today that all of this is a temptation. It is out there. Temptation is not sin. It is giving in to temptation. So what can we do about it? Here's a solution. Who's the answer? That's right, Daniel. That was for you. I put that in there for you. Jesus Christ is the answer. He provides a way of escape. And here it is. Number one, whatever it is that it fits in that category, and I hadn't gone through the list of sexual sin today because we don't have that much time. Stop it. Right now. Stop. You're having an affair? Stop it. You're cheating on your wife? Stop it. You're out on the internet looking at things you shouldn't let? Stop it. Yeah, things on TV, stop it. And the scripture says there, flee that. Flee that. And if it means it's summertime and you're at the Oglethorpe Mall and women haven't got on enough clothes at the Oglethorpe Mall to even walk through the mall, you need to leave the mall. You got it? That website that comes up on my computer, it distracts me. Eliminate it. Put the security controls higher on your internet. Do the research. Do something about it. Stop it. And for men, you know, you just can't go to those sites. You know, men like the picture stuff, and the women can't stay out of the chat room. That's right. That's the statistics. I have a relative that left her husband and two young children because at work she meets a guy out on the net and she moves to California. Do I seem a little angry about that? I am. I'm angry. Because, you know, it upsets me when I see the little children that then have to pay the price for the stupid things big people do. And it wreaks a reward that goes into the next generation because then they see that activity, they get caught up into it, and before you know it, they're caught in a sexual prison. And we hadn't even gotten into the place where, you know, the children being taken advantage of. That's a sermon for another day. Need to stop right now. Number two, we need to agree with God about the sin. Do you know what the word confess means? Literally, it means to say the same thing. What does that mean? God calls it sin. What am I going to say? Sin. I'm going to call it the same thing in my life. I'm going to agree with you, God, when you point it out to me. Number three, we need to ask for His help. God, come here. Shoot up amongst us. We need some relief. Do something. Come, Lord, come. I need Your help. When has he ever refused that request? Never. Number four, it's time to start letting your body be the temple of the Holy Spirit again. Remember, he speaks of that. All this went before that passage that we quote all the time about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that today. What led up to that? That this is the place where the Spirit of Jesus lives. In this body. Jesus doesn't live in this building. Did you get that? That's wrong theology. If you think Jesus lives in this building, this is mortar, wood, bricks, stuff. Jesus lives in us. And we might think about that before we do something. No. And not ask the question, what would Jesus do if he were here? That really is the wrong question. What is Jesus doing since he is here? Before we sit down to the computer. Before we give in to that temptation, whatever it may be. Number five, time to let the body of Christ help you. Isn't it? To be the body. Your brothers and sisters that love you unconditionally. Why do they love you? What really is in it for the other people around here? Is it because you're making them money or something? No. Is it because they would just feel bad? They would be losing something physically, financially because of you? No. You think of the reason why. And it gets back to love and caring about you. And we need to let the body help us. Doesn't mean you need to stand up here on a Sunday morning and announce all your sin. But it does mean you need to have some people in your life that you can share that with, that you can trust. And on the other side of that, that means we've got to be trustworthy people. And really tell some, and have somebody in your life that you know when you mess up, you can say, man, I messed up. I need some help. I need some help. And finally, we just got to change our habits. Only do that through the power of God. In some cases, you know, it's the stinking thinking. I love these analogies that come to us from Alcoholics Anonymous. They're beautiful pictures. The stinking thinking. We got to get that out of our minds. What are we dwelling on in our life? Or playgrounds and playmates. It's one of the things in AA they talk about, changing the playgrounds and playmates. There are some people that are in your life that do not bring out the best in you. Track it. And you know what? Either they need to change as you see God change them, or you need to quit spending time with them. Does that mean you X them out of your life altogether? No. But it doesn't mean that you continue to give them access to the intimacy of those things that are inside of you. And in some places, you just need to quit going. It's not good for you. It's like an alcoholic hanging out in a bar and saying, well, I'm going to be a witness. Yeah, right. You got it? Now I want to ask you, does what I've preached today make sense to you? I'm not calling for an altar call today. We're not going to have one. I'm going to pray for us. And pray for God's power for you. Y'all don't need to come up. We're going to conclude right here. We'd like to get your card from you. And if you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back. Basket's up here. And as you're leaving today, if you would, you'd let us have this. But I want to pray for us. Because I know some of you are real nervous about this message. It's made you nervous today. Just the thought of it. And there are a whole panoply of reasons why that can be. I was always nervous growing up when a preacher ever, you know, started talking about sex. What is that? Because I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. It was going to be this tremendous guilt trip that would not have a resolution at the end of it. Because I knew I was guilty, at least in my mind, of thoughts I shouldn't have. Are you there with me? So we're going to take all that off the table right now. I want to pray for us. Imagine if a crowd this size started acting on the truth of what this passage taught us today. Would it make a difference in Savannah, Georgia? Whew, man. I just look at all the businesses, all the public places, all the schools, all the networks of people that would be affected by this body doing what was right. Let's pray. Lord, today I want to thank you for your love. That you love us enough to share the truth with us about life and about what we need. Now Lord, you put this message on Rick's heart, Dane's heart, and my heart. And God, we're coming in agreement with you today. It's a message that we need to hear. I'm asking you, Lord, for your protection. Lord, I'm praying for children and young people of this congregation that you will guard them sexually today. Guard their minds, their hearts, and their bodies. God, we're asking you for a shield of protection upon them today. We're interceding and claiming that. And Lord, at the same time, we're asking you that you'll show your love, and when we do fall down, that we can trust the people that love us enough to involve them in praying for us and helping us. Lord, I'm praying for many adults here who are undergoing a constant barrage of temptation at their workplace. From anything from sexual misconduct all the way to just casual flirtation. Lord, I am asking you for your power and your strength today to do what only you can do. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're claiming your forgiveness for our past. And we know, Lord, that when you forgive us and set us free, we are free indeed. And the devil no longer has victory in that. So Lord, now as we confess our past to you, we're claiming your forgiveness. And we're claiming your power to make us new and different people. God, please go before us. May we be a shining light in a dark world. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your love for us and for the salvation that we have in you, because you died on the cross and arose on the third day. We pronounce victory in Jesus Christ. Amen.